Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
We're serving an awesome God, a good God. He loves us. He wants to bless us and move through us. Amen. My prayer is that I could yield my vessel over to the Lord Jesus Christ and the short temporal life that I now live like a vapor in a mist. I hope that He could do something with this life to bring glory and honor to Him and His throne, that could maybe change the life of somebody somewhere and give them a desire to serve and magnify the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, so many people say, well, I know Jesus, but the question is, does He know you? So many people know Him, they know His name, know the work that He done on the cross of Calvary for them, knows that He came and willingly gave His life and was brutally beaten and crucified on the cross, and they even know that He was resurrected, but He doesn't know them. And that's a terrible thing to think, that He doesn't know you. Amen. So just make yourself available to Him. He knows all things and knows the number of hairs on your head, but He may not know you, and that means that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and fill your heart and to plant a seed that keeps you away from sin down within the womb. Amen. That you'll bring forth a resurrected child. Amen. Caught up to the throne, that you could live and dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. You love the Lord? Maybe take a moment here, and possibly somebody has a question on their heart this evening, and if the Lord allows, we may answer it. We may not. I may not know, but I have an unction that He could help me to know, and if I can't, we'll just trust Him and pray, and He'll bring it to you. If it isn't by me, He'll bring it by somebody. Amen. Any questions this evening, just slip up a hand if you have a question on your heart of something that possibly... Let me go with this young man. Go ahead. The question has to be answered to an individual. If a man thinks he's heard from God, he could move ever so confident and believe that he's ever moving so much in faith on what he believes that he heard from God. And you could be young in the Lord and feel like you've heard from the Lord, and you can set faith and take on the impossible things, and He'll move in your midst and grant the impossible things to you, and you'll accomplish them when you've truly heard from the Lord. But then yet, there are so many people that I hear them say to me that they heard from the Lord. You know, well, the Lord spoke to me, or I feel like this is what He wants me to do, thus, thus, and thus. See, some people will take a dream and they feel like they've heard from the Lord because it was a dream. And God does speak to us in dreams. And I should say God confirms to us more so in dreams. If the dream isn't a confirmation that you've heard from the Lord, He will confirm His word. Amen. I've noticed over the years that when people make decision and move by dreams, saying they heard from God, those people are usually in a fall, in a crash up somewhere. Because as I say so oftentimes, that we're led by the Spirit of God, not by dreams and visions. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Dreams and visions, they sometimes help me to make alterations in my course. Amen. So the word is the light unto our path, and that's what we follow. But again, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. There's a lot could be said in that, because there's strange, many times, voices. Now, if I said, as I'm speaking up here right now, and I said, hey, Brother Jeff Cruz, he says, yes, sir. He looks at me. He heard something as audible. He heard a vibration, and it hit his ear, and it was an audible thing, and he said, I'm being addressed right now. Well, the thing is, does God speak to us that way? Do we hear, hey, Jeff Cruz? Do we hear like that? Well, I've had the Lord speak to me in such a ways and so clear that you wouldn't be able to hardly differentiate if it was audible or not. So I have had those things that clear to me. But just as a thought might come to you, and this thought could come through your conscious mind, and I'll just say, like, all of a sudden you wasn't thinking about it this time, but all of a sudden a thought comes and says, hey, I'm pressed, you know, in necessity, I need to go to the restroom. Or a thought would come to you and says, hey, I've got indigestion. Or a thought would come to you and say, you know, I'm hungry or thirsty or whatever. These are thoughts that come to you, and that comes from your mind. Those thoughts come into that consciousness, and it's not an audible thing that somebody else is hearing. And it can be discerned, those thoughts, and the intents of your heart can be audible to somebody that's walking in discernment. But it's a rule, the people sitting next to you don't know what you're thinking about. Now the thing is when we think of the voice of God or the mind of God or speaking to this consciousness of yours, and in many times it'll come the same way, just as a thought of one of your own thoughts comes to your mind and says, hey, you know, I want to do this, or hey, let's go for a drive, or hey, let's go take a nap, or hey, this, that. You see, you're going to find intermingled in these minds or voices, we could maybe say, you're going to find the things of Satan coming into that thought life. And you're going to see him interjecting a thought to make you change your course, to make you move in his behalf, or to make you do something in the way of heir to the things of God. Again, as you hear me say so oftentimes, we have to discern. The Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. So what we have to do is learn to discern those voices, those thoughts, or those minds that are coming forth. Many people think that discerning it would be taking the Word of God to discern it with the Scriptures. And that's true, but it goes beyond that. Because we've got Scriptures and many times that would verify a mind or a voice. And I've said this so many times, but I'll use it as an example again. The Lord could say, I want you to take this man and put him out. Remove the talebearer and the strifeful cease. You need to take this man and put him out of the church. You know, we got Scriptures for this, and there's a backing in the Word. So, you know, the thing is you hear the mind of Christ and it's telling you to do this, and you start to move it, you got Bible to back it up. But then yet I've got Bible says to receive them in too. You know, to take them and love them, reprove, rebuke, exhort, but take them in to and embrace them and love them and help them and strengthen them, forgive them, you know, restore them. So you see, now I've got Scriptures for going both directions. So, you know, you feel like you've heard from the Lord to put out, you need to make sure. And it'll be confirmed with you because the Lord usually will deal with you. It's not going to be just a one-time instance as a rule and he tells you to. He's going to deal with you about it. He's going to show you the complication, the problem. I'm speaking now more so into a ministerial perspective. Let me back away from that and let's keep it in a perspective of Christianity, of us dealing with what we do as Christian people, as what we deal with as maybe husbands and wives or sons and daughters or whatever. We've got to learn how to discern the voice of God. Because so many times people are so led by thoughts and voices, but they're not God. And many times as Manny's question, how he presented question and ask, because there's many times people think that they're doing something and it's within the will of God, and it's not. Now, I gave a small little foundation to expound on here, and I've said this before, so it's not going to be no new revelation, but you could stay home and you could pray all day long, stay closed in your room, tell your companion, I want no communication with anybody today. I don't want no phones on. I just want to stay before the Lord. I want to pray. Don't bring me no food. I'm not eating anything today. I don't want no water. I don't want no nothing. I'm going to stay in my room and closed in with God all day today and talking to the Lord and praying. Then you could be out of the will of God 100% because sometimes we do those things to appease. Now let's talk about it in a childlike way. You know that there's many times that a child would know that their father or their mother said, no, you cannot do this. This is off limits to you. But they go ahead and do it anyway. And they knew they violated mother and father. I remember my mother came home and I'm talking back in the days before the no-wax floors. I remember before the no-wax linoleum floors come out, and my mother, she would get down on her hands and knees and put waxes on and apply them. And she had a little buffing machine and would buff the floor. And I remember she come in from work that particular day, man, and I, man, had that floor shining, son. I mean, it was looking good. My mom knows that nothing's going to inspire a 12-year-old to go in and wax and buff the kitchen floor, you know, unless something's wrong. So she didn't say, man, that floor is looking good. Boy, I can see my reflection in it. Never heard one thing about that. The first thing she said, all right, what did you do wrong? That was the first thing to come out of her mouth. All right, what did you do? Now you say, well, that's you. No, all men's hearts are fashioned alike, and this is what children do. I've raised 4 children since then. I've seen that same old thing in it. And when they've done something wrong, they're going to try to overcome the evil that they've done with good, and they're going to try to do something good. Now, with all that said, I could say now you can see that there's a possibility that you decided to fast and pray all day because you know you was disobedient to God. Now, the thing is, the only thing that's going to make that disobedient act to God right isn't going to be prayer and fasting. It's going to be coming into obedience. So what were you disobedient about? If he told you to do something, to go to a brother and ask him to forgive you, or to do something of such, and you decided you didn't want to do that because you got an old hard heart and a stubbornness, you could probably swallow a gumball seed or whatever them big old things are whole easier than you can go to somebody and tell them you're sorry. There's some people just have a problem with that. I've talked to people and it's like, it's not that hard to say.
Just apologize. I've asked people to tell the other individual they love them, and it's like, they can't spit out. What is the problem? It's a spirit. It's not hard to say I love you to somebody. Well, there shouldn't be anybody that you don't love. You understand what I'm saying? And the thing is, say, well, I don't love the devil. Well, I'll tell you what, I could say that I love him because he has made me learn to be more than a conqueror and see the power of the living God. Amen. So the thing is, I know we hate evil and wicked and all those things, but we just don't need hatred and those things in our heart. And I know some of these things might sound repetitious to you, heard this and that, but there's people, brothers and sisters, that come in our midst that need some simplistic things of the gospel of Jesus Christ for they could understand how to follow God and how to hear the voice of God and discern the mind of Christ. So in doctrine and teaching and understanding the Bible and the scriptures, the thing that's thinking up here in your head is not just you. You've got to first come to that understanding. If it was just your head up here that you hear ringing around in there and all the stuff that you hear going on there was just you and you alone, then there would be a lot of this Bible we could rip out and don't need. But again, the Bible says to take every thought into captivity. Why would it tell that if it's just yours? You see, because the Lord knows that there are thoughts that have to do with spirits that are rambling around there within your head. There's never any evil act that you've done. There's never been any failure that you failed, except first it came by thoughts. You thought about it before you done it. There is a consciousness and a subconscious that's working continually in that head. There are many people that put study to understanding the head and the brain and the way it does. And there's people that have studied psychology to understand a lot of things and psychiatrists and this and that. And I'm not going there. I haven't been through their training and through their schooling. I've understood things by the mind of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you. So he's commanded me in the word to bring in the mind of Christ. So are we going to go and take and rend the skull of this God that walked among men and take and implant his brain in? No, it's receiving his thoughts. It's receiving his mind, the way he thought, the way he thinks. Amen. We find this comes in many ways, and it comes by doctrine. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Now, the thing is that we got to be at a place to hear the word of God. And when we hear the word of God, it's going to condition faith, and this faith is coming into the mind of God. We need to learn to think like God. We need to learn to have his thoughts. Now, the thing is if we go into the scriptures and read about his thoughts and his mind, it's contrary to your mind. So now we got two minds in here, and they're contrary one with another. The mind of man is contrary to the mind of God. Now, why do we have both of these right here between these two ears? Why do we have these two different minds up here, and we find ourselves in a war? We find ourselves in a warfare. When you talk to some people like this, they say this. They say, man, this preacher sounds schizophrenic. You know, I don't have these problems. If you are an individual that doesn't have a problem with thoughts and dealing with thoughts, deciphering thoughts and making decisions, then you're just so carnal-minded and so led by Satan anyway that you're lost and you're doomed into eternal damnation lest you get born again. But I'm telling you, when you receive God's Spirit, you're receiving a mind. The Bible teaches us the transforming of our mind, to transform our mind into the mind of Christ. So this is what we're doing as Christians. We're transforming. When Jesus walked among men, he called them disciples. The reason he called them disciples is because it comes from discipline. These people, these brethren, these disciples in the early church were disciplined into this kind of a life. And the reason it's discipline is because it takes a discipline action of you to start thinking in a different mindset. I was speaking with a couple men last night, and they got into speaking about the fall of America. Went into a place of business. They started speaking very disrespectfully about the political powers of our country. And I sat there and listened for a moment. And they were talking in such a ill way that, you know, they need to get some people raised up against these powers that are in office and going and clean them out, the way some of these third world countries think about going in and doing some ethnic cleansing. And I said, well, you know, you could go in there with your bombs or whatever, and you could take and snuff out and kill. But I said, your problem isn't the one that's in office. I said, your problem is the people that put him in office. They got a president or a king of the United States of America after their own heart, after their own thoughts. They got a man in there to represent them in the way America thinks. The reason I said this is we're speaking about thoughts, and I made a statement to these individuals that the doctrine that this man sat under in the church that he was in, under this Reverend Wright, and the doctrine that he sat under was very racist and very prejudiced and was very much hated of the white man and white people. Now, the thing is this would sound racist for me to even speak about this, but I'm just telling you that you could not sit under the doctrine that this man sat under without being a racist and hating white man. There is a way of revenge and getting revenge back to the white man. And if you would go into Muslim ideology and Muslim doctrine, the white man has absolutely no value of anything, of any way, of any kind, because they're numbered with the infidels and the heathens. So they think your life absolutely means zero, zilch, nothing. A man could not sit for 15 years under that kind of a mindset lest he thinks that way. So we're dealing with the way a man thinks. What are you indoctrinated in? What is the mind? Now, the question again that was asked tonight about people thinking that they know they've heard from God. Many people, when they hear a voice that does something they want to do, they want to contribute it to God. They want to say, well, man, I've heard from the Lord. You have a desire to do something, and then all of a sudden you've heard from God to do it. You might have a desire to go fishing. Now all of a sudden you feel like the Lord wants you to go out there and save the guy in the fishing boat. I don't know. You know, but I'm just saying that people have a way of wanting to feel like they've heard from God to justify their actions, where they're at, what they're doing, and why that they are doing it. The Bible talks about dreams, and I know that dreams we contribute over to voice in the mind of God in many cases, and the mind of man and the mind of the devil. These are the three minds that are working in your head, the mind of God, the mind of the devil, and the mind of your own self, your man mind. They're all three there. You have no choice in that. Now, some of them might not be as apparent to you as the others. You might be so self-willed, so in love with yourself, and got yourself so esteemed and magnified up so much and so highly that you only hear your wants and your desires and your ideas and the way that you want things. Now, if you're that kind of an individual, I could contribute that to Satan, because Satan has blinded your mind so much and got you thinking so highly of yourself, it goes to a satanic influence. Now, the thing is, again, the mind of man has got to be in there for a reason. It's going to meet the necessities of mankind. And there are things that this fleshly man has to have. Paul said, I sow unto you spiritual things. Wouldn't it be proper, or whatever, how he expressed it, that I could reap from you carnal things, natural things. So the natural mind has a place. When we go into the terminology of lust, it's many times the foundation of the lust isn't wrong, but it's lust is going to a strong desire. You see, there are things that man, you know, you have a desire to eat when you're hungry, and you should be able to eat. And if you don't eat, you can't utilize this vessel for the work and the service of God. So you're taking a natural carnal thing, and you could use it for a spiritual reason. You could use it for a reason to keep your body strong enough that you could be about the Father's business. So you do something carnal like eating, and it could be for a spiritual reason to be utilized for the work of God. But when lust comes in, and again, when most people hear the term lust, they think it to the sexual immoralities. But you know, we could lust after homes, after cars, after men, after women, after food, whatever it is. It has to do with a strong desire. Now, the thing is what happens is you could have a desire that would be a normal, natural desire as a man or a woman, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with it. But when the satanic influence comes into it, it's going to take and pervert something that God intended for you and take it into a strong desire or to a lust. And then you find yourself in violation to the scriptures and the word because of the strong desire or the lust thereof. When we go into the sexuality, I might say, for expression's sake of it, a man has a wife, or vice versa. You know, it says it's good for them to marry, for they won't burn in their lust. So the Bible teaches this. There's a reason for marriage, to keep this thing under subjection. Paul made a statement. He said, you'd be better off not to marry. But if you don't have enough control over this lust or these desires, desires, then you're better off to marry. So see, there's a solution. But you see, in lust, when it comes to a satanic thing, the marriage would be suffice. But when it goes into satanic and oppressed by Satan into these natural desires, then it becomes Satan moving through that mind of that man and putting a strong desire and causing him to fail. It could be overindulgence in food or into strong desires sexually, to going into immorality and adultery or fornication. And we find that it goes in so many realms. I use a term sometimes, a balance. I shared with you this on many occasions, that my pastor came to me and reproved me because I had hospitality. And the Bible says a minister is to be given to hospitality. We're supposed to have it. But I found myself being rebuked for it. Am I shooting at my pastor? No, because I was out of balance. Because I felt, well, this is what a minister's supposed to be. That doesn't mean your front door is wide open and you let anybody walk through the door at any time they want. And given, you got to have order in it and keep your household in order. And he said, your family's going to get violated. Your little daughters are going to get violated. And you're going to stand before the God for it. And you better get your house in order. So the thing is, I was being reproved for hospitality. Amen. Because I was out of balance. I was up here too high and I went down this way too low, because like I said, if Jesus Christ himself, after the reproof, would have knocked on my door, I would have probably shut the door in his face and said, hey, there's no room here in the end. And I know I'm, you know, sound like being a little calm, but I'm telling you the truth. I got out of balance in both perspectives. I'm out of balance up here, and my correction was way overshot. Amen. So I had to find through the mind of God the perfect order in that mind and in God. So again, the question is talking about hearing from the Lord and understanding, discerning, and walking therein. If you hear from the Lord, he will confirm that it's him speaking to you. He will clarify that it's him speaking. Now, the thing is the Bible says the king's matters require haste. So you hear from the Lord and you say, it requires haste. I got to move now. There are times that you need to move right now, that you don't have time. When you hear from him, there's some times that needs direct right now. But most things that would have to do with other people's lives have to do with you. And the more perplexed things, there's usually much preparation and much seasoning going for that. And it's not something that has to be made in overnight. Many counselors and stuff outside of biblical perspectives, outside of the mind of God and Christianity, they tell people never to make hasty decisions. They say, if you're going to go buy an automobile, never go to the lot and look at a car and buy it. They said, go home. And see, people pressure, you got to do it now. Boy, you need to, man, tonight's the night. It's over at midnight, this and that. Say, well, that's a good time to walk away. Now, I'm using other natural things, because there's many times people are pressing. And Satan will do that very thing to you. He'll want to press you. He'll want to make you move in haste. If you go back into the Genesis, you'll find pressing there, pressing Eve. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Hey, man, it's good. You know, and pushes people. And when you feel something pressing you and pressing you and pressing you, usually that's not the Lord. Usually the Lord isn't doing that. He's more of a gentleman, and he's drawing you. He's drawing you. And there's a difference in being pressed and being drawn by God. Amen. Many times when people are being pressed and pressed, you need to discern that spirit, what is pressing you. I know the Bible again says to press our way into the kingdom of God, and there's many times and many things that we're pressed into. But I could tell you, when the Lord is there pressing you to do something, if it's him pushing or whatever, you're going to find a peace, and you're going to have a peace in your heart. But when you have these turmoil or these kind of a travails and things like that, don't move in that. Stand still. Wait. And wait for that peace that surpasses all understanding. Because God will give you that. He'll give you a peace. So when we're talking about, again, discerning the voice of God and knowing which one it is. So we find something that speaks the word and quotes the word verbatim. We say, well, I know that's God. No, as you've heard me say so many times from the sacred desk, Satan will quote the word verbatim to you and make you think that it's God, because he wants to get you listening and following him. And you say, well, Brother Rob, that's frightening, because when you speak like that, it would make me be afraid to move or to listen to anything going on within my head. Well, I hope that's what you're getting out of this, because we need to be careful, because I see so many people making detrimental mistakes in their walk with God, because they're making decisions on things that they think, because they think this way. And we got to first and utmost make sure that we're thinking
and that our thinking is in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thinking in His mind. And there's waypoints and checkpoints to know that when you're thinking in God's mind. There are ways to know that you're thinking the way He would think. Now, the thing is that you've exercised and practiced thinking in your own ways, and many times people like to think. You know, I can remember being a child in school and the teacher's hollering out there and said, "Hey, Coons, are you daydreaming?" He could see I wasn't with him. He could see that I wasn't listening to his mathematical equations or whatever. And I'm looking out the window. And, you know, I might have been on an island somewhere. I might have been at the lake. I could have been snow skiing. I don't know where I was at. So I just know that all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And we could be off in another world when we're sitting in the presence. A preacher could be pouring his heart out, trying to help you and teach you. And you're off someplace else in some other dimension, some other world, some other thoughts, or whatever. And I've been there. I'm not just saying this because it's that way. I've been there myself. And I've been called up in front of a church as a minister and rebuked openly for being one that had my thoughts out of order during a service. Amen. We're talking about the mind of God and how we know to discern it, how we know to hear it, how we know to listen to it, how we know to move in it. How do we know that it's Him speaking and talking to me? Now, you got to remember that Satan is a master of disguise. If I was teaching you a class tonight, and I was teaching you a class on counterfeit money, I could probably show you money that you would look at and think, man, this has got to be real. They even give these little pins out at some of the stores where you can mark it and see if it's counterfeit or not. Well, wouldn't that be nice if we had a little light on people's forehead, a red one and a green one and a blue one. And the blue one's when it comes from the old man's mind, and the red one's come from the old devil or whatever, and the green one, boy, that's God. You know, hey, I can listen to him now. He's got the green light on. Wouldn't that be nice? It would kind of be easy, you know, like I'm staying away from this dude with the red light on. You know, that sounds a little ignorant maybe, but then yet on the other hand, you can come to a place in God that you can discern, that you could walk and discern the voice and the mind of God, and you know when it's God speaking. So I've had many people speak things that would look like the will of God. It would sound like it would line up with the scriptures. It sounds like it would be something that would win souls. But when you discern that it wasn't God's mind and it was of something to get somebody out of the place that they were at, that God could have used them for what He wanted to use them for. You know, I was speaking to a young man here just the other day, and many times we've got these ideas as, well, this is the aspect that God wants to use me, and this is how He's going to use me, this is when He's going to use me, this is where He's going to use me, and you got it all worked out. God ain't nowhere in the arrangement, because that's all mistakes right there. You see, I came up here to this sacred desk tonight, I had no idea where we was going, what we was going to speak about, or this and that, and I say, here I am, Lord. I'm not saying that's what everybody should do. We should be before the Lord and be talking to the Lord and being in His Word and reading the Bible and having some things with the Word that when we take people's time, that we could have some kind of a continuity of thought or to reach some sort of an objective in teaching or doctrine or understanding. So tonight we're trying to stay with some kind of a theme of thought, dealing with thoughts and dealing with discernment and discerning the voice of God and understanding that voice. I could say that my wife, I could call and she could recognize my voice. And I know sometimes we've got some mothers and daughters and different things that do sound very similar, but she pretty much knows my voice. And a stranger, I'd say she wouldn't follow, but we needed to know how to discern the voice of God the same way. She discerned my voice by somewhat of a sound, right? But the Bible talks about an uncertain sound. The Bible talks about the trumpet that's blown to go into battle, and sometimes there's an uncertain sound that goes forth, and people think that they're called to move, and it wasn't a call forth to do so. Now, this is why, again, we're talking about understanding and discerning. If we're speaking about the mind of Christ, and part of discernment and discerning the mind is knowing the mind. Now, I've used this for an example before. Brother Atlee Beachy, Brother Andy's grandfather, is a friend of all of us. And the man has, over the years, I've known him for just almost 20 years now. And over this course of time, I've never heard one report of the man cheating anybody or stealing from anybody or lying from anybody. So I could say that the man doesn't have a mind of a liar. He doesn't have a mind of great exaggeration. He doesn't have a mind of taking advantage or doing something, harming somebody for his own self-gain. So then what I could say is if somebody gave me a letter, if I'm not a handwriting analysis, I couldn't analyze and say, well, this is Brother Atlee's handwriting. I wouldn't know it if I saw it. But I could read it
And I could tell you real quick if it was something that the brother wrote, because I've learned enough and known and been around the man long enough to know certain aspects about what makes the man think. So if I had some letter cursing me out using some sort of a vulgar terminologies and language, I could look at that and say, no, this wasn't written by Brother Atlee Beachy. Brother Atlee Beachy would never have cursed and said these kind of vile words to me. He wouldn't do that. It's not his mind. So see, I could discount it real quick because I know the mind of him. And I know that he's not a liar or a cheat or a thief. So I would be able to discount that. Are you seeing where I'm going with this kind of thoughts? Now see, the mind of Christ, brothers and sisters, it's not double-minded. It's not unstable. It's not up and down. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. It's non-changing. The Bible says, woe unto them that are given to change. And when you see a man that's totally given to change, and he's having a good day today, and today's a bad day, tomorrow's a good day, the next, this is a man going in and out of different minds. Because see, the mind of God is stability. It's stable. When you run into the mind of God, you know what to expect. Now, you got to be able to discern this within yourself. You think that I'm teaching you this, for you could look at this man and say, well, I know he's not in the mind of God today, or this man, but it's for yourself. You got to figure out what is using your brain, what is making you say what you're saying, what's making you think the way that you're thinking. And this is why we've got the Word of God in the Scriptures, because this has been God-breathed. It came from the mind of God. So when you have the mind of Christ, yes, it'll be confirmed by this Word. If you've got some mind that goes contrary to this Word right here, then I would tell you right off the bat, it's not the mind of Christ. But again, in the Scriptures, we've got a time for planting, time for sowing. We've got a time for harvest. We've got a time to pluck up different things. So we still would have Scriptures to vindicate, but we've got to find what that mind is. You see, the same mind that told Elijah to go to the brook is the same mind that told him to leave the brook and go to the widow's house. So the thing is you see, there was a time for him to come and a time for him to go, but he had to hear from that mind. To discern of what these minds are is, again, as I say, I learned. And over the years, your discernment gets more keen and better because you've exercised that mind. Now, I've used this for an example. When Gina first married Billy, she may not have known exactly what his likes were. She may not have known that, you know, I like white bread, not wheat bread, or I like wheat bread, not white bread. I don't like rye bread. I do like rye bread. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's a mind of a man, okay? He has different likes. You know, is he going to go to hell because he doesn't like rye bread? No, I don't think so. So this is, we're talking about a man's mind. Now, a woman has to learn her husband's mind. Now, wouldn't it be foolish if she likes rye bread and he doesn't, but every morning she tries to shove some rye bread down his face? She likes it with her coffee in the morning. Well, I'm going to eat me some rye bread with a little butter on it. Here, you need some today. Sometimes she's going to learn his mind and say, look, he doesn't like rye bread. And going to quit trying to put it on him. That would just be foolish to keep doing that. Now, this is what happens with the mind of Christ. There's people that have desires of their own and they want to keep making it spiritual. I have people come to me as a pastor and say, well, Brother Rob, da, da, da. And then they go and think about it for a while, and the only thing they thought about was how to present it in another angle for I could look at it another way. And I've told people straight out like this, I said, well, if the answer is different, then I've got the problem. You understand that? If the answer changes... Now, there is a point of time where the pastor could say, go on, Balaam, do what you're going to do without saying that. Say, hey, go on, go for it. It's in your heart. It's laying there. You're going to do it anyway. Just go on, get with it, have a good time. And that could happen. Those things do happen on occasions. But on the other hand, what I'm saying is you want to learn to think in the mind of God. At first, it might be an effort. It might be a learning. It might be a training. You know, if you went into a foreign country and you're the only one that spoke your language, guess what? You're going to have to be attentive, start listening, start learning something, and start putting some things together. Or otherwise, you're going to be just ignorant to them people. You ain't going to be able to say nothing to them, and they ain't going to be able to say nothing to you. So you're going to have to adapt to their language, and you're going to have to learn their language to communicate. Now, God has a way of communicating with him, and it's in his way, in his mind, and his thoughts. And the thing is you are the one that has to adapt your mind to his. Biggest problem is why they're writing so many of these Bibles over, is they're trying to rewrite these Bibles to fit man's mind. And they wanted to make it easy for it's not offensive to mankind. This Bible's not meant not to be unoffensive. It's offensive, you know, to the natural man, to the natural mind. It's going to be offensive. It's going to offend. And you say, well, I know the Bible said if you offend one, better off to put a millstone around your neck. There's other scriptures that go the other way. You know, we're talking about offending a little one. And if you take a little one that really loves the Lord and really doesn't understand, and you offend them with your steak, so to speak, and when they need milk, that's what the scriptures are speaking about. But people are going to be offended by the word of God, brothers and sisters, when they're walking in willful flesh and in the mind of mankind. It's going to be an offense to them, reproof and rebuke. But it teaches how to receive that if you're a child of God, and you will grow in the grace and knowledge of God thereby. Now, still speaking about this mind, the mind we talk about so oftentimes, the mind of Christ. So oftentimes in this church, we talk about thoughts. But see, this is something that's active in your life every day. You could be a plumber, you could be an electrician, you could be a tile man, you could be whatever, a gas station attendant, a pilot. I don't care what you are, but there's something that everybody is doing every single day that have different trades, different callings, whatever they're thinking. Everybody is thinking. Some have troubles going to sleep at night because their mind kicks into gear and it's just thinking like crazy. And it's going through all five gears and looking for overdrive sometimes. And it's getting with it. But what is going on there? What is this thing that is moving through your head like a whirlwind? What is this thing that's robbing you maybe from sleep? What is this thing that keeps you tore up? What is this thing that brings depression to you? What is this thing that brings anxiety and animosity? What is this mind or these thoughts that brings hatred and bitterness? What are these things that make you angry and mad and evil? Is this all the mind of Jesus Christ? We know that can't be so. Because if we come into the mind of Christ when somebody's doing all manner of evil against us, we find his mind loving that individual. We find his mind when somebody's taking advantage of us. We find our man's mind says, get a chokehold on him, slap the fire out of him. But the mind of Christ says, hey, give him another. You know, go the other mile. And this is what we've got to learn. We got to learn to see. And many times God wants to see you taken advantage of. He wants to see you cheated. He wants to see you lied against. He wants to see you done wrong. For you could show the love of God to that individual. So oftentimes, brothers and sisters, this is how God's winning souls. This is how God could let your light shine because of the darkness of the other individual in taking advantage of you into doing you wrong. It gives you the opportunity to show that you don't have the attributes of man. The attributes of man, when someone does them wrong, they retaliate. When somebody says evil, they speak evil. When somebody burns them, they burn them back. And this is the mind of man. But you see, that's the part that's got to die. So now we're still talking about these three minds and these three thoughts. So we're going to find out which one's activated. Satan knows how to come and push the right buttons to activate that mind. You understand that? He knows which one to push to get that thing up and going. Many times your mind is going to how wretched this guy is, how wrong this guy is, how you don't like this guy. And you're looking at this individual like, this guy's the devil himself. This guy's not right with God. He's a thief. He's a crook, he's a liar, he's a cheat, and you're all full of anger, you're all full of animosity, you're all full of strife, and you're looking for some kind of a vengeance, some kind of way to return evil for evil, and all God wants you to do is look at him and smile and say, I love you. What else can I do for you? You say, I can't see doing that. That's why I'm talking this way. It's another mind altogether. And I've been there, brothers and sisters. I've been there. I've had the Lord take me to places and show me that that's what was going to happen. He said, this is what's going to take place and this is what's going to happen. You see, he knew he was going to be crucified when he went to Jerusalem. Is that true? He told him about it. Days before he went there, he said, I'm going to go there and this is what they're going to do to me. He told him. So do you think it'd be any different today? The Lord has showed me exactly what was going to take place, that I was going to be crucified. And I went willingly, knowing that. That's not easy to do. You say, well, it's a little bit different for you, Brother Rob. He was really nailed to a cross and he was beaten and all this. It was a little easier for you. You know, you call crucifixion when somebody does you wrong. Well, maybe you've never been crucified in the house of your friends. And maybe you could sit there and think that way because you've never suffered persecution nor tribulation. But I've been with my pastor before and I told him, I said, I would rather go over and put my arms around a pole and take a beating as what I feel like I'm going through. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the torment a man could go through in this mind is far more severe than what could happen in a natural beating. Sometimes a man, if he thinks he could bend over a stool and somebody take a big old whip like your principal used to do maybe when you was in elementary school and light your tail end on fire. Yeah, you don't like it for a minute, but a couple minutes later, you're going to go on, you're going to forget about it. But you could do things to vex the Spirit of God or know that you've crossed God, and you could find torment in the mind. And I know the tormenting spirits are from the devil, and that's what I'm saying. When you get out of an obedience with God, it brings sacrifice, and that sacrifice could be all right here within the mind. I'm telling you, people can snap in their mind and be far more worse. You could take a man and whip him. You could take your fist and smash his face in, bloody his nose, distort it on his face, swell his lips up, maybe knock some teeth out. That man sometimes could go right on and get over that and go on about his business. But there's other times that a man be in a spiritual travail and warfare and a mind, and it is so far more superior and more tormenting than any natural thing ever. There's people that go totally slap out of their minds by having tormenting spirits tearing at them and wearing their mind out. The Bible says that you'll be turned over to the tormentors. Most people think, and this is when one dies and cast into hell, they're turned over to the tormentors. And that's exactly right. But there's also three dimensions, brothers and sisters. And there is a dimension that a man could be in torment. And I say he won't sleep. He won't have rest. And his mind is so active and so rapid going, and they're just tore out of the frame. They got anger and animosity and bitterness and jealousies and strife. And then that's tormenting spirits. Now, it's different measures for different people, but I've seen it destroy people. I've seen it eat people alive. And I've said this from the sacred desk on numerous occasions. There's many people that got tormenting spirits that there's just wrapping in their head and their evil surmising and eating people alive continually, and it usually brings forth cancer. In many occasions, I'm not telling you everybody that deals with cancer is because they're dealing with that spirit, but in many occasions, because they run a parallel, they run a pattern. One is one that eats the flesh alive, the other one that's eating a spiritual thing. It just spiritual envy, spiritual strife, spiritual bitterness, spiritual hate, spiritual wickedness. Brothers and sisters, it's terrible. Like Brother Jesse said here last year at camp meeting, he made a statement. He said, bitterness is like you eating poison, hoping that the other individual dies. You see, bitterness is a terrible thing. It consumes. What is bitterness? Now think about it for a minute. What is bitterness? I want you to think now. I want you to really think about what bitterness is. Bitterness, you could see the action that comes forth from the mind of bitterness. You understand what I'm saying? But you're seeing an action from a mind. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, you could hear bitterness speak. You could see bitterness manifest in attributes of hatred. You could see it the way it speaks, the way it looks. And you could see it. It'll change the countenance of an individual when they yield to bitterness. Now, when your mind is trained, now we're talking about the mind of you and the mind of God and the mind of Satan. But when your mind is trained to recognize these things in other people and see their shortcomings and failures, but never trained to see it in yourself. But you got to remember that the preparation of that other individual is from God. Yes, every evil action and everything that takes place, it was a preparation that God allowed to happen because it's going to work for the good of somebody. Now, the thing is when you got somebody doing you wrong and taking advantage of you and this and that, God's the one that led you there and he put you there for that particular reason, for you can overcome something in your own life. Where else would you be there? He said, all things work together for your good. So why would he suffer you to get ripped off? Why would he suffer for you to be hurt? Why would he suffer for you to have somebody take advantage of you? Why would he suffer for somebody to lie to you? Why would he suffer somebody to do this to you if it all works for your good? So what you got to realize is we're talking about coming into the mind of peace. Because when you realize that these things are all working for your good, then you're going to get peace. Instead of being weary and being bitter and showing hatred and animosity, you're going to say, wait a minute, Lord. This is why this is here, for I could exercise the mind of Christ. I could exercise love, suffering the wrong, doing good to them despitefully use me. How could you ever exercise that attribute of Jesus Christ unless somebody uses you? How could you ever suffer the wrong unless somebody's doing something to make you suffer? How could you go the extra mile unless you've already walked that mile? Some of you ain't willing to go the first mile, let alone go the extra one. Some of you are so self-centered and selfish. Now, it sounds like I'm turning this to rebuke, and I don't mean to do that. And I could say to myself, if I yield to Rob Coons' mind, it would be a mind of selfishness looking out for what's good for Brother Rob.
Have I ever been there? Yes. This is why I could expose the mind of man. This is why I could expose the mind of God. This is why I could expose the mind of Satan. Because I've understood and watched them, and I see the fruit of all three minds. And I know that Satan could start out to get control of your thoughts by looking good. Something that would be pleasing, something that would be good. Said to Eve, hey, look at this. It looks good to the eyes. Go ahead and eat it, man. It's good. Take some. Hey, and everything he was telling is truth, man. If you eat of this, you'll become like God. You'll know good and evil. He was telling her the truth. He wasn't lying. The only lie he said is that the day that you partake of, the Lord said you'll surely die. And that's where he lied. He said, you won't die. But everything else he said was the truth. They would become as God, knowing good and evil. So that's the truth. And this is what he'll do with you. He'll present truth to you. Hey, you do this, man, you'll prosper. Oh, you could be the top dog. You could run the business. You could have this, man. You could have people bowing down at your feet. He could take you and lead you into running this whole world. He could make you president. And you can follow the will of Satan and the mind of Satan, and he'll raise you up and put your name in the lights. You know, all Hollywood will know who you are. He can do that. And all you got to do is sell your soul to him. He's disputing for your life, for your mind, and for your body. He's going to get your mind first. He's got to get your mind before he can have your body. And this is what the Lord wants. He can't have your body until he gets your mind. Now, we say we're the purchased possession. We're redeemed of the Lord. And the thing is that we are through the works of Christ at Calvary. But if he don't get this mind, then we're none of his. So we've got to utilize our thoughts to him, give it all to him. So what's going on in your life? What has taken place? You say, well, you know, you've talked like everything is the will of God. Well, let me tell you this. There is a Satan that comes in and he's going to have his way, but God allows him to do so because God has his way in the good and evil, and there's no evil in God. So when the evil comes, it's going to be through the satanic mind and the satanic influences. But God's allowed it and he's having his way in it. Well, why would God let me get ripped off? Why would God let me get lied to? Why would God let me get cheated? Why would God let somebody take advantage of me? You know, I should be prospering. I'm trying to feed my family. I'm trying to do this. Why would God let me do that? Because you got greed in your life, because you got selfishness in your life, and because you're looking for your own and your own self, and you're not considering others. And you say, well, I can't receive that. And that's why you'll never grow in the grace and knowledge of God. I speak by the mind of Christ. I know man's mind, and all men's minds are the same, and all men's hearts are the same. They're all selfish. They're all after their self-esteem. They're all after what's good for them, what makes them better, what lifts them up, what makes it easier for them. That's the human mind. Well, is there anything wrong with that? When you want to be a Christian, there is something wrong with that. You learn to surrender to God and say, Lord, I'll be the least. You know, I don't look to be esteemed as anything. I want to be the least. Lord, use me. I prefer my brother greater than myself. And when you do that, he says in his scriptures and in his word, through humility, he'll make you a vessel of honor. But it's going to come through humility. It isn't going to come any other way. And that's not some kind of a make-believe humility that knows the right thing to say when it's really not in your heart. Humility is a spirit. You could look at somebody, you know, I love you. Does that mean you love them because you said you love them? Is humility because you speak by humility? Humility is a spirit. It's going to emanate that way, and you're going to see the actions in your life are for others, for other people, for the means of other people. And when you're doing that, you'll never lack in anything, ever, when you learn to surrender to that. It's not easy, brothers and sisters. It's a struggle. It's a travail. It's a fight. It's a walk. It's a birthing. As I said, you go into another country, you got to learn the language of that country. When you come into Christianity, you got to learn to think as a Christian. You got to learn to hear as a Christian. You got to change what you hear. You got to change what you speak. You got to change what you think. It's totally adapting. It says a new creature. It didn't say the old creature. It said a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So all of a sudden, you start thinking differently, you start speaking differently, you start acting differently, you find everything different about your life. Why? Because you're a new creature. When you want to take your Christianity and go back and exercise it with your old friends and the old people and the old acquaintances, you just miss God. They don't want nothing to do with you when you're really converted and when you're really born again. Your old friends don't want anything to do with you. When you truly get born again, they don't want you. They don't like you. Well, I think if you're a Christian, everybody likes you. So what my Bible teaches me, it says they hated him first, they're going to hate you also. And they're going to have no reason to hate you. They just hate because you got the Spirit of Christ. I'm not talking about a self-righteous spirit, but the Spirit of Christ, brothers and sisters, makes demonic people uncomfortable. They get fidgety when you get around. They don't want to be around. Pick up a hitchhiker sometimes that's full of devil and start testifying the Lord. I had one time, and I was, let me take that back. I'm not going to ask anybody to pick up no hitchhikers, but I've done this. But I got testifying the Lord. First thing, you know, where are you going? I said, well, this man, that's exactly where I need to go. And it was miles. I'm talking, you know, well over 100 miles.
I was getting ready to take a point. I started preaching and taking, I think I'll get off here. Hey, man, it's still no 75 miles. I think I'll just get off right here. All right. They don't like it. Well, this is what we're supposed to do, pound the Bible down everybody's throat when we meet them, this and that. How many of you seen me do that? Probably some of you could say I probably have. But then there's many times I don't speak. We got to find the mind of the Lord. And maybe that was the opportunity that individual needed. And he might be gone now. He could be dead now. He may be in the grave right now. He may be in hell right now. And the thing is, that could have been his day of opportunity and he rejected. How do you know? What do you know? What mind is speaking? What made you motivated to say anything about Jesus? What motivated you? Was it the mind of man, the mind of the devil, or the mind of God? Which one was it? Sometimes the mind of man, with its prestige, could want us to talk about the scriptures to bring self-esteem to them. For somebody to look at them and say, boy, you're really smart. You really know your Bible, don't you? People like that. They gloat in that. They gloat in knowledge. They gloat in that kind of thing. The Bible says knowledge puff up. But the Bible teaches us to press in to an understanding and to a knowledge. So it tells us to get a knowledge, but then it says the knowledge will puff you up. So what is it? Is the Bible all messed up? Well, you see, the Bible is differentiating right there. And the knowledge that he wants us to come to is not the knowledge of man. It's the knowledge of God. It's a knowledge by the spirit of knowledge. You see, there's a spirit of knowledge, and then there's a carnal puffed up knowledge. As I've said in times past, one catches up and the other one puffeth up. The mind of God, the knowledge of God will catch you up, but the knowledge in the mind of man will puff you up. And there's a most definite difference between those two there. So start differentiating. Start learning to think in the mind of God. Well, I'm not sure after all this time that you've taken and all this speaking, Brother Rob, that I know that I could tell and discern between the mind of God and the mind of Satan. What's thinking in my head? What's making me want to do this? Well, when you're going down the road, now let's go real simplistic here for a while, and you're driving down the road and you see a little liquor store over on the side of the road, and all of a sudden there's a thought that comes to your mind. Man, that big old 16-ounce tall boy don't sound too bad. I kind of like them old Budweisers or that old Michelob. That sounds just like the mind of Christ to me. You know, well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Lord, I was real thirsty. That don't sound too bad. That sounds just like something Jesus would say. Now, I'm saying this for a reason, because when you're young, there's going to be simplistic things. But as you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, he's going to expect you to discern more so differently. God is not going to take a young individual, a young child in the Lord, somebody that's very young in the Lord, and put them into a rigid discernment test of discerning the things and the voices of God. But as you grow in the grace of knowledge of God, you're going to have to learn to understand. Usually when people first come to God, they're not always even dealing with thoughts so much yet as they are with actions. You know, like, well, I got to learn that it's not really the right thing to do to cuss my friend out when he grieves me. It's really not the right thing to do to wave a certain finger at the guy when he cut me off in my car. Now, those are some elementary problems that maybe somebody's dealing with. And you're thinking, well, but see, when you get those things out of the way, and get some of those things, and you get rid of the tobacco and the alcohol and some of the elementary things that little babies deal with, and you get some of those things out of the way, then the Lord's going to start dealing with you in the realms and the way of thought. Amen. And I want to think in the mind of Christ. And I never could hear the mind of Christ saying, light up, snort up, drink up. It's just not there. So start exercising that mind, and in whatever simplistic way God would deal with you and talk with you, just listen. He'll talk with you, and you'll hear him working through you when you're walking in disobedience. You'll hear him working in the mind of convicting. You'll hear that convicting or the conviction of his mind, and he'll say, you know better than that. You don't think that way. You don't talk that way. You wouldn't want to do that to somebody. You need to listen and yield to that, because he's going to work through a consciousness. He's going to work and speak to you through a consciousness. And when you feel your conscience drawing back from something, the Bible says beasts don't have a conscience. So if I'm speaking to somebody and they don't have a conscience and they can go out and rob, steal, kill, lie, cheat, molest, pervert, and don't act like nothing about it, they're a beast. See, beasts don't have conscience. You know, beasts, the Bible said some are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. But the thing is, if there's something in you saying, this isn't right, you can't do that. It could be taking a job. You might lie on an application and all of a sudden the conscience gets the best of you. God's speaking through your conscience saying, I should have never done that. It might look bad on your case. It might cost you to lose your job. It could. It could cost you to lose a job because of you being straight, because of the convicting power of God. But see, that could also be a very big stepping stone in walk with God, saying, hey, obedience means more to Him. So God will always bless and always honor. The thing is, we learn to allow the conscience mind and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work through the conscience and yield to it. If you keep shutting it off, and you keep shutting it off, and He's dealing with you and tells you to walk in obedience, and you keep shutting it off. He says, walk in obedience, you keep shutting it off. Then the Bible says that you could be turned over to a reprobate mind. See, that's not the mind of Christ, the reprobate mind. And it says you sear your conscience over with a hot iron. You know, when you take and sear something with a hot iron, if you sear meat in, when you take a meat on a real hot skillet and you sear it real quick, it seals it in. It seals those juices and everything in. There ain't nothing going to go. And that's what people do. They sear their conscience. It's just seared over, and that means there's going to be no more consciousness moving through that mind, no more. So don't be guilty. When you hear the Lord working through your conscience, speaking to you, telling you to draw back or telling you to maybe do something that might be a little bit hard for you to do, it might say, you need to apologize to this one. You need to ask this one to forgive you. You need to go over to this individual and make it right. Or whatever it is, you need to yield to that and submit to it and get those obstacles out of your life that you could hear and exercise the voice and the mind of God. In closing thought, is somebody going into a foreign country learning a language, there's going to be a lot of language going forth they're not going to hear, and they'll start picking up a little word here and a little word here. As I've been in foreign countries and learning a little bit about their language, I maybe grab a word out and a word out and maybe just get three or four words out of maybe 20 spoke. But in those three or four, I could sometimes get a concept of possibly what the conversation's about. And this is the way it is in God. You'll start, while you're young, He'll work with you and He'll allow grace. He'll make allowances for you. He'll keep you under a different cloak of protection. You see, as a young child, there'll be such a cloak around them of the protective of God. But as you grow and mature in the Lord, He'll start pulling this cloak of protection away. Now, don't misunderstand me. Now, listen to me. And the reason He's pulling it back is because He's teaching you to exercise. It's just like a regular father. He's going to protect his little baby. If he's got a 2-year-old, he's going to keep it in him and he ain't going to let no one get to it. But as that baby gets up the same height as him and stuff, and they got adversary coming, he's going to teach that kid to fight. Well, this is what God does with us as we grow up and mature in the things of God. There's a time that He's going to baby you. There's a time He's going to rock you. There's going to be a time He's going to caress and hold you. But there's going to be another time that when you grow up, and He's going to expect you to be a man. You understand what I'm saying? He's going to expect you to fight the good fight of faith. He's going to expect you to put the full armor of God on. He's going to expect you to be that good soldier for Christ and keep yourself out of the affairs of the world. The things of God are simple. They're yea and amen. They're not complicated. And some of the things that might seem a little bit complex, or maybe we might use the term confusing to you, they're truly not confusing, because confusion's of the devil when there's somebody sitting there not confused whatsoever at all. If we went into a mathematics class, you might be over here in arithmetic of 4 plus 4, and then we step up a little bit higher to the next one in mathematics and our multiplications, and 4 times 4 is 16. This one had 8 for the answer. This one over here had 16. And then you go on up into calculus or algebra, and they've got different equations and different formulas, and they come up with different things. The calculus class isn't confusing to the mind of calculus, but to the mind of arithmetic it is. But there's nothing wrong with the mind of arithmetic, and there's nothing wrong with the mind of multiplication. There's nothing wrong with the mind of calculus. But to the calculus student, he understands all, and to the arithmetic student, he doesn't understand the others because of the age and not being trained in it. So that's the way the things of God are. You know, some people, I've even had ministers say, it's confusing and I can't be of God. And it isn't confusing that they're just little babies still sucking on the bottle, and they need a good paddling and their diaper changed for they can get the pacifier out of their mouth and get onto some meat and start growing up and getting some strength in their bones for they could take their rightful place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.
I appreciate you tonight coming out to the house of God. And I know I took adequate time, but I don't feel like I got an adequate message delivered. But praise God, we got other services we could come back to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen. Do you love the Lord? I do love the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful that His ways are not complicated and that He'll lead you and direct you and guide you and strengthen you and help you. Amen. Just get sincere, follow Him, walk with Him, talk to Him. Amen. Fall in love with Him. He's an awesome God. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service.
He is my everything. Jesus is my all.
Is He truly your everything? Does He mean more to you than everything or anything? I hope He does. If He means more to you than your children, than your husband or your wife, then you're starting to know Him. And He'll make you a good husband, a good wife. He'll strengthen and He'll give you a love for your companion that you would have never known outside of Him, of making Him preeminent, making Him first, and falling in love with Him. Amen. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll make everything, everything, brothers and sisters, everything. He'll make it better, righteous, holy, good. And He'll utilize it for the glory of the kingdom of God, that you could reap the benefits and the rewards through all of eternity. Just remember, I don't care if you're young and I don't care if you're old. This life is short. It's a vapor. It's a mist. You might think 100 years sounds like a long time, but if you put 100 years up against 1,000, don't seem like that long. And when you put it up against 1,000,000, it sure don't seem like hardly nothing. And when you put it up against 1,000,000,000, 100 years, when you think of 1,000,000,000 years, it don't even look like it hardly could be measured. And then when you go to 1,000,000,000,000, that 100 years would be almost like going and taking a piece of sand off the beach and say, I've got the beach. You just got one little grain. And you could see the multiplied miles and thousands of miles of beach. So think in the mind of God and give this little miserable feeble life that's here for a moment and gone, give it to God all the way and say, take this little vapor, Lord God, and utilize it, that maybe in the midst of this little vapor that you could, somebody could see the glory of God, and somebody could hear from heaven, and somebody could see and come to know you, Lord God, that you are their God, their Savior, and their salvation. Amen. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture to you. I didn't read any scripture this evening, and always try to make an effort to at least read some out of the Word of God before we dismiss here. Reading from the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and it says, And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Now how can we not differentiate? Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but will confess the name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.